Chapter 96. Idiot! Figuring out Draco had become something of a group hobby, but they were all equally stumped by his new interest in dark objects. At least, until Harry figured out Draco had taken the dark mark, and the silence settled over the three of them like a cloud. "Well, I suppose that's it then," said Ron. "No more second or third or fourth chances to not be a Pratt. No more thinking he's just pretending." "Maybe he's just..." "You don't pretend to take the dark mark," said Ron. "It's not a game." "We're sort of his friends," Harry said. "Let me finish. So I reckon it's our job to knock him down until he realizes he won't be standing up until he stops this. I don't see why we should give him a choice."
"You can't make someone be good," Hermione said, rather gently.
"I'm not sort of his friend," muttered Ron. "I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. It's creepy the way he's always turning up all over the place like a ghost."
Harry ran his hands through his hair. "Would you rather wait to deal with him until he's learned how to transfigure us all into teaspoons and taught us to dance a jig?"
"We'll talk about it later," suggested Hermione. "After all, we'll see him at school soon enough."
In another universe, Harry decided Arthur Weasley was his best bet for an adult to warn about Draco Malfoy's suspicious behavior. In this universe, he would have chosen Sirius Black, except Harry could not quite bring himself to distrust Draco so far as to think Draco's errand was truly dangerous. It came to much the same thing in the end.
"Greg was quite hoping his father would be arrested," Luna confided to Harry as a quiet aside on the train. "But no luck so far."
Harry nodded sympathetically. Later, Harry discovered that Greg had an ongoing waxpert problem, but Luna and her father were very hopeful about treatment options.
"Petrificus totalus!" Without warning, Malfoy pointed his wand at Harry, who was instantly paralyzed. As though in slow motion, he toppled out of the luggage rack and fell, with an agonizing, floor-shaking crash at Malfoy's feet. The invisibility cloak trapped beneath him, his whole body revealed with his legs still curled absurdly into the cramped kneeling position. He couldn't move a muscle. He could only gaze up at Malfoy, who smiled broadly.
"Honestly, Harry," Draco said, kneeling next to him and peeling the invisibility cloak off so he could see Harry's face. "I'm sure that was very brave, but it was also entirely stupid. I can't even treasure the picture of you falling out of the luggage rack with you wearing that cloak. Think about others for a change."
Harry glared at him.
"You think I didn't learn something the past few years? There's always someone invisible listening, or someone peeking into your mind."
A sweep of cool gray eyes, up and down Harry's paralyzed form.
"I'm sure you'll be able to derive some sort of moral lesson from this complete and utter failure,"
Draco said cheerfully. He covered Harry in the invisibility cloak and left. A lantern was bobbing at the distant foot of the castle. Harry was so pleased to see it. He felt he could even endure Filch's wheezy criticisms of his tardiness and rants about how his timekeeping would improve with the regular application of thumbscrews. It was not until the glowing yellow light was 10 feet away from them and had pulled off his invisibility cloak so he could be seen that he recognized the hooked nose and long, black, greasy hair of Severus Snape.
"Well, well, well,"
sneered Snape, taking out his wand and tapping the padlock once, so that the chains snaked backwards and the gates creaked open. "Nice of you to turn up, Potter, although you have evidently decided that the wearing of school robes would detract from your appearance."
got into a fight with Draco Malfoy," Harry said.
"Did you?"
"Well," Harry attempted not to look guilty. "If Minerva McGonagall is going to be smug about this to me later, I should prefer to know now."
"He noticed me under the invisibility cloak and got me with Petrificus Totalus."
Snape looked nothing so much as amused.
"There is no need to wait, Nymphadora. Potter is quite, safe in my hands."
"I meant Hagrid to get that message," said Tonks, frowning.
"Hagrid was late for the start of term feast, just like Potter here, so I took it instead."
"And you want to yell at me about something," Harry interpreted.
"The day I do not want to yell at you, idiot, is the day I am dead."
Tonks, Harry noticed, had a particular expression on her face.
"Good night," Harry called to her over his shoulder, as he began the walk up to the school with Snape.
"Thanks for everything.
See ya, Harry."
Snape did not speak for a minute or so.
50 points from Gryffindor for lateness, I think," said Snape. "And let me see, another 20 for your muggle attire. You know, I don't believe any house has ever been in negative figures this early in the term. We haven't even started pudding. You might have set a record, Potter."
"You should be happy, then."
"I have nothing against the House of Gryffindor, Potter."
Harry eyed his professor, who seemed just as usual. His hand holding the lantern did not shake, and his face was its usual sunless shade, but not more lined than it had been last spring.
"I will thank you to stop looking at me as if I were an invalid," Snape snapped.
"Sorry, sir," Harry said, with as much patent insincerity as he could fit into two words.
"While we are on the subject, what possessed you to be so foolish?"
"Sir?"
"As to allow yourself to be open to coercion. I am certain I have made myself plain on the subject of attachment."
On the subjects Harry really didn't want to discuss with Snape.
"Wait. You've made yourself plain? Perhaps you are under the impression that I act in this fashion to all my students, Potter. That every student attracts my ire, my disgust, and fatigue as if they had drunk a potion of loathing. I have never been kind to you."
Wow, that was far too close to discussing emotions for Harry's comfort. Golly! Harry was silent for a while as they walked up towards the castle, trying to kick his tired brain into gear to find an answer that would suit his particular teacher. Or perhaps he should go with an answer that wouldn't suit his teacher.
"I ignore a lot of what you say, sir, because otherwise I never would have been able to concentrate on learning potions."
"Idiot." And that, apparently, was that.